Come to order. Would the clerk call the roll?
Senator Kelly.
Here.
Senator Todd.
Here.
Senator Joseph.
Here.
Senator Page.
Here.
Senator Bennett.
Here.
Let the record show that all rules members are in attendance. Today is Monday, July 29th, 1985, 1:30 p.m. in the Senate Finance Room in Juneau, Alaska. At the request of Senator Rohde, Senator Coghill will read a message into the record.
Mr. Chairman, a telegram received July 24 at 2:11 p.m. to Senator Pat Rohde. Like many citizens of Alaska, I'm concerned that the current special session may have done harm to the reputation of not only the governor of Alaska, but also the government of Alaska. The Senate has had its unwelcome task thrust upon it by a court and a grand jury that may have abused its authority. It can hardly be denied that the grand jury's action has created a constitutional crisis in the government of Alaska. Please request on my behalf, as a private citizen and your constituent, that the Senate petition the Superior Court for a declaratory judgment as to whether the court and or the grand jury exceeded their powers in releasing the report and the call for impeachment before the governor has given a chance to respond to its contents. Serious question of fundamental fairness and due process affecting all citizens of Alaska are raised by the premature release of the grand jury report. There are also serious questions regarding the power of the grand jury to call for impeachment, a power clearly reserved for the Senate. The Senate has the constitutional obligation and responsibility to seek a determination of whether the report and testimony which is before the Senate was properly released, before any additional money, time, and energy goes into continuing these hearings. The Senate itself may be guilty of malfeasance or misfeasance of official duty if it does not ask for a judicial determination of these preliminary questions. The Senate may be committing its own impeachable offense if it allows due process to be trampled and the stability of government of Alaska to be reduced by failure to seek such a court ruling. First things should come first. I have no way of knowing your personal position on this issue, but I would appreciate it if you would read this request, which is obviously in the hearts and minds of much of the public and many of the senators, into the record of the present Senate proceedings. An attorney has advised me that a private citizen such as myself probably does not have standing to bring such a court action, even though it affects all the citizens of this state. It is incumbent upon the Senate to act for the citizens of the state in bringing this issue to the court. To me, this is simply a common sense approach to the situation at hand. Thank you very much for whatever consideration you give this request, Bob Uchitel. And I move and ask unanimous consent that it be submitted to the record.
Any objections? So ordered. Senator Coghill.
Mr.
Senator Eliason.
I assume by reading messages from your constituents in the record that we have the opportunity to also do that.
Senator, you have that opportunity. I would hope that the senators would use some discretion, but Senator Rohde felt that that should be read in. Senator Coghill.
Mr. Chairman, also for housekeeping, I would move and ask unanimous consent the memorandum regarding grand jury report. The prosecutors misled the court and the grand jury about the permissibility of releasing a grand jury report submitted to the Senate on the 23rd day of July 1985 by John M. Conway, counsel for the governor, and Philip A. Lockavera, counsel for the governor. And I move and ask unanimous consent to be submitted to the record.
Any objections? So ordered. That has previously been distributed. That brings us down to the first item on the agenda then. Yeah, read that one.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, communique to Senator Tim Kelly, Chairman, Senate Rules Committee, from Sam Dash, Chief Counsel, relevance to the impeachment inquiry of the alleged grand jury abuses contained in the memorandum regarding the grand jury report dated July 25, 1985. Move and ask unanimous consent to be read to the record.
Any objections? So ordered. We're down to the first agenda item today, which is discussion of questions about the grand jury. Senator Sackett?
While we're reading things in the record, I would like to submit a list of documentation, which, if you'd like, you want me to read off each one of them or just submit it, because I'd like to have it as part of the record.
You should probably read them off individually,
okay.
Senator.
The first one would be the grand jury, Alaska Grand Jury Handbook, which is distributed by the Alaska Supreme Court of Alaska. This is, by the way, being distributed right now to all members. Secondly, is a memorandum that I wrote on July 24th to all members of the Senate regarding the attached materials which I felt were relevant to grand jury proceedings. Those included a letter, a memorandum from John McKay with all of the attachments which I had previously passed out, attachments A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and H. In addition to that, I would like to submit for the record the Alaska statute and the grand jury proceedings with regard to, attached to that, the Supreme Court Justice ruling in a variety of the different states throughout the United States, and the rulings with regard to the existing law that we have before us. The other thing I'd like to have included as a part of the record is the Columbia Law Review Grand Jury Presentment Foul Blow or Fair Play article, which was of December 1955. The next one would be the Grand Jury as an Investigative Body. This is an article that... from the Harvard Law Review. And in addition to that, this may already have been done, by the way, it's the memorandum decision and order that you provided to us, to the clerk of the court, regarding the matter of the grand jury of the First Judicial District in Juneau for the term preceding commencement on April 1, 1985. And I wanted to have that put into the record as part of the whole
proceeding. Senator Coghill?
Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that the items that Senator Sackett has read be submitted to the record.
Any objections? So ordered. We're going to limit discussion on the questions about the grand jury to 2:45 p.m. before we take our first break. When we return at 3 o'clock, we'll be hearing testimony from Mr. Joseph Arsenault. The floor is open for those members wishing to discuss the grand jury process. If there are no questions concerning the grand jury process, then we're going to go on to Mr. Arsenault. So done. The chair would call Mr. Joseph L. Lenny Arsenault to the table, please. Pursuant to Alaska Statute 24.25.060, the President of the Senate and Speaker of the House of Representatives and the Chairman of every committee of either body may administer an oath to a witness appearing before the respective body. A person who willfully swears or affirms falsely concerning any matter material to the conviction is punishable by imprisonment for not less than 1 year, no more than 5 years. Ms. Arsenault, would you stand and raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give in this matter will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. The questioning order will be the Senate Chief Counsel, the Governor's Counsel, and the individual senators.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Arsenault.
May I ask permission to read a brief statement, opening statement?
No objections.
No objections. Please continue, sir.
Mr. Chairman, panel, members of the Senate, I appreciate the opportunity to appear before this body, and I hope my testimony will help resolve many of the questions before you. I have just a brief written statement. First, I want to state for the record that I personally have said and done nothing that is illegal, immoral, or for which I am embarrassed or ashamed. I never encouraged anyone else to do anything that was in violation of the law. I would not have expected that of anyone. In all of my 35 years in Alaska, I have never been involved in any action that cast doubts on my personal honesty or integrity. My personal reputation has never been called into question. With respect to the Fifth Avenue Center in Fairbanks, I have just 3 points to make. First, the state needed to consolidate its office spaces in the Fairbanks area. The project in question is one that was in the best interest of the state. There was no boondoggle. Second, there was a lot of support in the Fairbanks area for consolidating state offices in the downtown Fairbanks core area. All members of Fairbanks' legislative delegation had signed a letter urging the governor to locate the office space in the central Fairbanks core area. The mayor had urged it. The city council had urged it. And the Fairbanks Development Authority had urged it. This project was seen as one that could help revitalize the core area of Fairbanks. Finally, the Fifth Avenue Center is located to serve the state's interest and the Fairbanks community interest. It is a block from the other state offices, near the post office, and a block away from the city hall. For those who use public transportation, it is directly across the street from the bus station. The Fifth Avenue Center fits the needs of the state and the community, and it is available. No other building or location in the area comes close to meeting these requirements. The building already is being renovated. State law says that when such a situation occurs, the state can negotiate a lease rather than go to competitive bids. That's what happened here. A lease was negotiated at a reasonable rate. If I personally had no financial stake in this project, I doubt that anyone would ever have questioned it. It was, and it still is, a good deal for everyone. If I had to do it all over again, I would have turned back my financial interest in the Fifth Avenue Center. But I would have continued pushing it because the center is an important project for the entire Fairbanks community. My financial stake in this project is 2%, just 2% of the entire investment. As investments go, this is not a big deal. I just regret that because of my small stake in this project, all of this trouble has been stirred up, and that the reputations of the governor and John Shively and me personally have all been called into question. I hope this presentation will go a long way towards answering your questions and restoring people's confidence in Governor Sheffield. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Arsenault. The chair would note for the record that accompanying Mr. Arsenault is his attorney, former Senator Ed Murdies of Fairbanks. Mr. Dash.
Mr. Arsenault, I hope you will understand that the questions I will be asking you are not for the purpose of embarrassing you or accusing you of wrongdoing, but to elicit as much relevant facts as we can to assist this committee to engage in its constitutional function. Would you state for the record your full name?
My full name is Joseph Leonard Arsenault.
And what is your occupation?
My occupation, I'm business manager, financial secretary, and treasurer of Local 375, Plumbers and Steamfitters Union in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Could you just briefly tell the committee what your duties are in that position?
I represent a group of people in Fairbanks, union people, and they're plumbers and steamfitters. And I'm trustees on just about all of the trust we have into the local. I push for local labor laws, and basically that will cover it.
Now, how long have you been engaged in that occupation?
I've been engaged in that operation 9 years.
Have you also been involved in political fundraising?
Yes, I have.
How long have you been engaged in that activity?
Approximately 5 years.
What initiated your getting into political fundraising, could you tell the committee?
Well, yes. I mean, we have a lot of local laws we like to pass, and I'm talking about basically local hire laws. And we could foresee what was coming up in the future. There was no question about it. We could see that a few years ago, where the not slow people were going to, where they're going to hire the not slow people. And right now they are. They're hiring them from North Dakota, South Dakota, Texas, Wyoming, all over the lower 48. And we feel that we should have our people working before they import them kind of people.
Now, have you had a relationship with Governor Sheffield?
Yes, I have.
Could you describe that relationship?
Well, the relationship goes back when he was campaign manager for Senator Gravel. And that's when I first met Governor Sheffield. But I hadn't seen him anymore after that until the last primary, before the primary of the last election. And basically, I didn't support Governor Sheffield at the time. I supported another candidate. He was a local candidate. And at the primary, he was defeated at the primary. So that's when Governor Sheffield approached me about trying to support him in running for office. And basically, I had a long talk with Governor Sheffield, and the long talk was a local hire issue. And he agreed that he would push the local hire issue, and basically, that's one of the reasons why I supported him.
Can you tell the committee how much money you've raised for the governor's political campaign?
I think speaks for itself. I think it's $92,000.
And how was this money raised? And what methods did you use? I think there were parties, the testimony has shown.
Mr. Dash, it was all voluntarily. We had people working, and they were mostly $100 donations.
Did you hold birthday parties for the governor, which helped raise these funds?
That was after the $92,000, Mr. Dash.
Now, do you have a social as well as a political relationship with the governor?
Well, let me put it this way. I haven't run into the governor that many times. And it is a side of a social. Yes, it is.
Well, let me. When the governor's in Fairbanks, would he call you or contact you sometimes?
Not every time, Mr. Dash.
But at times?
Occasionally.
And when you're in Juneau, would you call or contact the governor?
Occasionally, I would be in this building right here, and I would stop by, and if he was available, fine. If he was busy, I would say, I'll drop by later.
As a result of your political support and friendship with the governor, would it be fair to say that you developed an influential relationship with him?
Very possible.
As a matter of fact, don't you have that reputation that you have an influential relationship with the governor?
Yes, I do.
Other than the Fifth Avenue Center, have you brought to the governor's attention any particular issues that you support?
Would you repeat that, please?
Other than the Fifth Avenue Center, which we'll be talking about later, what other types of issues have you presented to the governor which you support and sought support from the governor?
Well, one in particular was the Gold Panners, and that's a semi-pro baseball team. It's a nonprofit corporation in Fairbanks, and they wanted to renovate the Groudon Memorial Park in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I did interfere. The trustees came forward to me, and I was part of the trustees also, and they asked me if we could have the state raise some money to improve the Groudon Memorial Park in Fairbanks.
Would you just identify one or two others?
No, I can't identify any others. Or maybe the Susitna Dam.
Have there been any, for instance, with regard to your responsibility as a union leader?
On local hire issues, yes.
And in these situations which you've presented to the governor, has the governor agreed to support the issues that you've raised to him?
The Groudon Memorial Park, he didn't. He vetoed the bill.
And in the issues involving your union role, has he supported you?
Well, he does to an extent, and we've been pushing and pushing. Like I said, I've been pushing for 2.5 years. And I know he has it right down. He's serious about it. And hopefully we're going to... He's always talking about, having meetings with the oil companies, and he's pushing hard for us. I know he is.
So would it be fair to say that generally the governor does support the request you bring to him?
Maybe, yes.
What is your relationship with the Fifth Avenue Center?
I'm a 2% owner of a $13 million debt building. That's what my relationship is.
And when, Mr. Arsenal, did you first acquire that small interest?
Somewhere around August of 1983.
When you made this investment, were you asked if you could bring in some of your friends from the union?
Yes, but there were only two other people involved, and I didn't know about the membership being involved at a later date when I saw all the names in the newspaper.
Well, how many of the membership are involved in some part ownership in the building?
I hear now maybe 12. I'm not sure of that.
Now, at some time, Mr. Arsenal, did you become aware of the governor's program for consolidation of state office space in Fairbanks?
Yes, I mean, through the newspapers.
Do you recall when you were first, generally? Not a specific date, but about what year? 83, 84?
Well, when I really found out about this, and like I like to go back to say that basically I was like a messenger boy in between this, and I really didn't really sit down and study what was taking place. I was just told by Mr. Orsini and Mr. Richards.
Well, can you just give us a time frame on that? About when did you first learn of the governor's program?
I would say April or May
of what year?
Of 84.
Of 84.
No, excuse me, 83.
83.
No, 84. I'm correct. 84.
Were the owners of the Fifth Avenue Center interested in providing space in that program?
Yes, they were.
When did you learn this?
I learned this somewhere in the month of September.
Of what year?
Of 84.
Were you also interested, Mr. Arsenal, in the Fifth Avenue building becoming part of that program?
It was secondary as far as the local hire issue was. It was secondary.
But you had an interest in it becoming the part of the program?
Well, I had a 2% interest, yes.
Well, beyond your 2% interest, did you feel that, even from your opening statement to the committee, did you have an interest in that building being part of that consolidation program?
I had an interest in the building because it was a community affair, and I was pushing for community affairs. My records show that in the past years, I pushed for community affairs at all times.
So whatever your purpose, and it doesn't have to be, I think, from your own testimony, your financial interest, you had an interest to push this building.
Definitely.
Could you tell the committee when you first told the governor of your part ownership in the building?
To the best of my knowledge, I believe I told him in October sometime, and it possibly could have been sooner, but I'm not sure.
October of what year?
Of 83.
October.
No, excuse me, 84. I'm getting
October 84. Here. Now, I think it's important for the committee to pin that down a little more specifically, Mr. Arsenault. And I know it's always difficult to recall back a specific time. Would it refresh your recollection if I were to show you a memorandum that the governor sent to Mr. Shively, in which he states that you told him of your ownership interest sometime in December of 1983. And I'd like to show you that memorandum. Well, it's not for your identification, but merely to look at a statement that the governor made in a memorandum to John Shively on December 14th, 1983. Would you distribute that memorandum to members of the committee in the Senate? And could one of those memorandum be given to Mr. Arsenault? Since this is the first exhibit, Mr. Chairman, that is being submitted on the part of the Senate committee and not an exhibit that came from the grand jury, I would like to have this exhibit marked S1 for the record.
Any objections? So ordered. And this is John Shively from Governor Sheffield, December 14, 1980.
Yes, notes from Fairbanks is the subject. I address. I direct your attention, Mr. Arsenault, to item 5 on that memorandum. And in the third paragraph of item 5, the paragraph that states, also Lenny Arsenault of the Plumbers Union gave me some information which indicates he and some other people own the borough building downtown, and by 84 will have 3 additional floors to rent. As the borough is moving out, we will also want to work with the Fairbanks Development Corporation for planning purposes. Does that refresh your recollection, Mr. Arsenault, if the governor made that statement?
No, it doesn't recollect my memory, Mr. Dash. I don't recall that.
Well, you're not suggesting that the governor is not making a correct statement to Mr. Shively on this?
No, I'm not saying that, no.
In this statement, in the memorandum, the governor states that Mr. Arsenault gave me some information which indicates he and some other people own parts of the building. Do you recall what kind of information that might have been?
Are you referring to this?
That memorandum. I'm not asking you to identify or validate the memorandum, but he says in the memorandum to John Shively that you gave him some information which indicates ownership. Could that have been a brochure? Do you recall giving him a brochure?
I have. I don't know if I brought that down with me in October or not. I'm not sure.
Because the testimony before the grand jury and before this committee from John Shively indicates that at about this time, either December or January 83, he said that the governor showed him a brochure on the borough building. And I'm just trying to get from you whether or not that brochure that the governor showed John Shively is the information that the governor indicates you gave him at this time.
Plus, it's very possible because the brochures were out all over the city of Fairbanks at that time, too, I assume. When I received it, it was already out for publication. It was pictures in the newspapers and running.
Thank you, Mr. Arsenault. Mr. Chairman, I would like to have this memorandum entered into the record. which is S1, which we just distributed.
Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that the memorandum shown as Senate S1 exhibit from John Shively from Governor Sheffield, dated December the 14th, 1983, subject notes from Fairbanks, be entered the record as unanimous consent.
Mr. Chairman,
no objection.
Do you want to offer
I'm only interested, that the relevant part of the memorandum, which I referred to Mr. Arsenal to refresh his recollection, is just that third paragraph in paragraph 5.
Thank you.
Chairman,
just a question. If we're only talking the first page, then why do we have the other pages? Because it starts talking about other things which are not pertinent to this, but being a part of it may lead the press to start looking at other issues which are not pertinent to this.
Well, Mr. Chairman, in receiving a memorandum from the governor, I didn't want to take it apart and give you anything so that the committee might be accused of tampering with the memorandum submitted by the governor. So that the only relevant part, I state for the record, is the paragraph I referred to in questioning Mr. Arsenal. The committee, if it wishes to redact any surplus part of the memorandum, should do that. I didn't think I should give you a partial part of a memorandum.
Well, then I would submit that only paragraph 5 be inserted into the record then.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
No objection, so ordered.
Now, did you learn, Mr. Arsenal, that the governor had a preference for locating the consolidation in the Fifth Avenue Center at some time?
Yes, as a matter of fact, if you permit me. If you permit me to read this, it's very short, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Arsenault.
Stated Thursday, December 15th, 1983. Governor Bill Sheffield's interest in consolidating state offices into one facility in Fairbanks should result in better service for his constituents if we use an orderly process to bring it about. Though many state offices are now housed in the state office buildings at 7th Avenue and Cushman Street, other state facilities are scattered throughout our community, from the court building just across Barnett Street to the Department of Natural Resources at the corner of Airport and University, to the Department of Fish and Game on College Road, to the Department of Transportation of both University Avenue and Pega Road. In all, state offices are located in 26 different places around town. That reduces the efficiency of state workers who need to be in touch with their colleagues. Worse, it's inconvenient to the rest of us who are often have reasons to do business with the state. Governor Sheffield hopes to find space as much as 93,000 square feet if needed in the downtown area. Adequate parking is a must, he believes.
Oh. What you've read, Mr. Arsenal, is the governor's interest in consolidating office space downtown Fairbanks.
Yes, it is.
The question I put to you was, did you learn that the governor had a preference for the borough building, which became the Fifth Avenue Center, consolidation?
I believe he did.
Do you know or do you recall how early, from the reference of his interest in consolidation, that he expressed that preference? The first time you know of his expressing a preference for the Fifth Avenue Center building?
I would say it was in December.
December of 83.
83. I don't necessarily say I read these things, but it's very possible that Mr. Richards and Orsini were on top of this and mentioned it to me. It's very possible that way.
Yeah. And are you aware of the governor's expressing an interest in or preference for the Fifth or the Borough building at that time, prior to that article you read?
Not before this article, no.
All right. In your grand jury testimony, Mr. Arsenal, you stated that on October 2, you came to Juneau and met with the governor and John Shively and requested some changes in the office space consolidation RFP on behalf of your building. Now, a little later, I will ask you to describe that meeting, and we'll get into it more specifically. But first, I want to direct your attention to some months prior to your October 2 meeting with the governor, and to particular occasions in those months when you may have also talked to the governor about that building. Now, was there also a time prior to October 2, the October 2 meeting with the governor, when you talked to the governor about how many square feet of office space the state needed in the Fairbanks consolidation project?
Well, I believe, Mr. Dash, that was at the time that I inquired about receiving an RFP.
Yes, I think you testified that you read in the newspaper that the office space had been reduced to 40,000 square feet, and you indicated your associates and your interest in bidding on it. And do you recall when that happened?
It would be sometime in September of 83.
I think your testimony in the grand jury was that you saw something in the newspapers about the state reducing its need to 40,000 square feet. Would it refresh your recollection, Mr. Arsenault, if I tell you that in the testimony before the grand jury, Mr. Barnett testified that at a meeting on May 7, 1984, a group of state agencies had gathered together to determine how much office space they need, and they had announced at that time that all they needed was 40,000 square feet. Would that refresh your recollection that was made public and that's what prompted you to speak to the governor about that?
No, I don't believe so, Mr. Dash. I believe when I asked for the RFP, I was aware that they were talking 92,000 square feet, 40,000 square feet, or 20,000 square feet, to my recollection.
So it's your recollection that it's about in September of 1984?
Yes.
You raised that issue. And how did the governor respond to your recollection when you said that you were interested in competing for this consolidation project?
Well, that's the same time that I was asking for the RFP. And when I asked him for the RFP, he said, well, I don't think there's any problem there.
Did you attend, Mr. Arsenault, the dedication of the airport in Fairbanks on August 13, 1985?
Yes, I did.
And was the governor at that dedication?
Yes, he was.
And did you have an occasion to meet with the governor at that time?
Very briefly. It was a small room, and there was quite a few people there. And as we were leaving, the governor was late getting there, and we shook hands and said hello and things like that, and we didn't stay for the ribbon ceremony. I left.
Did you talk to the governor at that time, to the best of your recollection, about the office space building and your building?
To the best of my recollection, no.
Would it refresh your recollection? If I refer you to a memorandum of August 15, 1984, which was written by the governor's secretary, we understand, after a trip that the governor took, including notes the governor wanted to send to John Shively for things to do or for information. And I think I can state for the record that the trip that the governor took at that time was his trip, among other things, to Fairbanks to attend that airport dedication. And on item 9 of a list of things this memorandum shows that the governor wanted John Shively to either follow up on or know about. And would you pass that memorandum out and have a copy to Mr. Arsenault? And Mr. Chairman, I'd like this marked S2. Just item 9, the last item on the memo.
Senator Coghill, would you read item 9, go into the record, please?
Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent the memorandum to John Shively from the governor, August 15, 1984, shown as Exhibit S2, paragraph 9, Lenny Arsenault, Fairbanks Building, August 17, State for info by consultant. Move that it be submitted to the record. Asking that consent.
Objected. So ordered.
Sorry, did I say that? Sorry, I may have misspoke in my question and referring to the dedication of August 13. I'm told I said 1985, and I mean 1984. Now, Mr. Arsenault, if you notice on that item 9, the reference to you, Lenny Arsenault, Fairbanks Building, August 17 date for info by consultant. Does that refresh your recollection to whether or not you spoke to the governor or the governor to you about the Fairbanks building and a consultant's information that was due August 17th?
I have no recollection of that, Mr. Dash, but, you know, the building stands out there like a sore thumb. It's very possible he could have went through there, and we had discussed this previously, so it's very possible it reminded him of it.
And do you have any knowledge, or could you give the committee any help on what consultant information might be referred to there?
I wouldn't know, Mr. Dash.
Were you aware of a consultant report that was being prepared for a space study in the consolidation project?
I wasn't aware at the time, but since the hearings here, I had seen copies of it, yes.
Now, there's testimony in the grand jury, Mr. Arsenal, regarding a particular birthday party fundraiser in your home on September 15, 1984.
That's correct.
And you recall that?
Yes, I do.
Did the governor attend that party?
Yes, he did.
How long did he stay?
It's a hypothetical guess, but I say it may be 2 hours, 2.5.
Did he make a speech at that time?
No, he didn't.
Did you spend any time with him on that occasion?
Yes.
What did you talk to him about?
Basically, I know one thing. Let's get the record clear that it was a fundraiser, but it wasn't for him. It was for the Democratic Party to help elect the Democratic senators and representatives.
Did the Fifth Avenue Center come up in the discussion in any way?
It could have occasionally, but I have no recollection whatsoever what the talk was.
But it could have.
It could have, yes.
After the fundraiser party, Mr. Arsenal, and shortly before your meeting with the governor on October 2, 1984, did you call the governor and ask him to send you a copy of the RFP on the Fairbanks lease project?
Yes, I did. It was sometime in September.
Now, you say sometime in September. I wonder if we could pin that a bit. It certainly was all after the fundraiser party on September 15th. Where did you call him? Where did you reach him? In Juneau?
I reached him in Juneau, yes.
The records, I can tell you, and for the record, before the grand jury, indicate that the governor was traveling from September 15 through September 23 and arrived in Juneau on September 23. There's the record in the grand jury of phone calls, Mr. Arsenal, show the only phone call during that period of time from your office to the governor's office to be on September 26, 1984. Could that be the phone call in which you called the governor?
Well, if you're refreshing my memory that way, evidently it must be the 26th of September, but I have no recollection.
Well, it's the only phone call shown from your office to the governor in September at that time. Would that have to be the phone call, would you say?
It would evidently be.
Were you aware at the time you made that phone call that the Department of Administration had drafted RFP, which we should state means request for proposal, on the Fairbanks Consolidation Project?
I was not aware of it.
Well then, why did you make the call for it?
Let me clarify something here. Basically, I was like a messenger boy. I had no involvement whatsoever with negotiations or with anything like that. All the information that I was getting from was a firm of Richards and Orsini.
And Richards and Orsini, would you identify what that firm is and its relationship to you?
Well, basically, I have a 2% interest in it, and also Mr. Orsini's been handling my taxes since 1967, the year of the flood in Fairbanks, Alaska.
But isn't it true that Richards and Orsini have an ownership interest in the Fifth Avenue Center?
Yes, they have.
And your interest in that center is through Richards and Orsini?
Very small interest, yeah. Yes.
And as you say, you were playing the role of a messenger, and who was asking you to be that messenger?
The firm of Richards and Orsini.
And who in that firm?
I would say both, mostly Mr. Richards, but Mr. Orsini was there also.
On the occasion you made the telephone call, who asked you to make the telephone call to the governor for the RFP?
I think Mr. Orsini did.
Now, why were you asked, if you know, to call the governor? Why didn't you call the Department of Administration to get a copy of the RFP?
Well, I knew I had a close relationship with the governor.
And Mr. Orsini knew that?
Yes.
And it was for that reason. Would, do you think that if you called the Department of Administration, you would have been able to get a copy of the RFP?
I can't answer that, Mr. Dash. I don't know.
Well, you testified before the grand jury that it is difficult to get RFPs in, on a government project. Isn't that true?
I did say that, yes.
And would you then have believed at that time that it would have been difficult to get a copy of the RFP on this project?
It's a possibility.
Now, when you called the governor on this occasion, did you have any difficulty in getting through to the governor?
It is possible. I don't recall, but a lot of times, the few times that I have called the governor's office, I have very seldom been able to get through immediately. It was always a callback situation.
Now, he calls you back.
Sometimes he'd forget.
And if he doesn't call you back, you call again. Is that it?
I'd wait a couple of days if he didn't call. Maybe I would if it was important.
Now, what did the governor say when you asked him for the RFP?
He said, I don't see any problem with it.
Did he say anything to you that indicated he knew there was an RFP prepared?
No, he didn't.
Did he sound annoyed at your call?
Not to me, he didn't.
Did he send you the RFP?
Yes, he did.
Could you tell the committee when and how you received it?
Yes, I had a call from Mrs. Herman stating to me that the papers would be sent by Gold Street. And she gave me the airline and the time and everything. So after the plane arrived in Fairbanks, I called the airlines. They said there was a package for me there.
Now, was that on the same day you received the call from Ms. Herman?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And again, so that we can pinpoint some time frame, as we've indicated, the records show that your only call to the governor's at that time was on September 26th. The records in the grand jury, phone records in the grand jury also show that on that same day, late in the afternoon, a phone call came from the governor's office to your office. Would it be, since you received the phone call from Ms. Herman the same day you called the governor, didn't you not?
Repeat that, please.
Did you receive the phone call from Ms. Herman on the same day you called the governor?
You mean my request for the RFP?
Yeah, when you phoned your request for the RFP, did you get a phone call from Ms. Herman telling you how to pick it up on the Gold Street in the airport?
Not that same day.
Not
no.
The same day?
No. Not to my recollection.
You know about how many days after?
No, I can't say. I don't recall.
Well, was it a week later, 2 days later?
I'd have to take a guess at it, Mr. Dash.
I don't want you to guess. Now, when you got the RFP, what did you do with it?
Took it to my office. I opened it up and found out what it was. I called the firm of Richards and Orsini and told them I had in my possession a copy of the request for proposal. And they said they would pick it up. And I said, no, I had an appointment downtown and I would drop it off.
You say you opened it up and saw what was in it. Did you read it?
No, I didn't read it. It was too large to read. I didn't have the time.
And you dropped it off at whose office, did you say?
The firm of Richards and Orsini's.
Now, after you received the RFP and gave it to the firm of Richards and Orsini, were you asked later to do anything with it?
At a later date, yes.
Could you tell us just approximately how much time after you had dropped the RFP off, did somebody from Richards and Orsini talk to you about doing something with it?
They asked me to bring down a copy of the core map so that it could be identified what everyone was talking about. They were talking in all different directions. They were talking outside of the city limits and inside the city limits. They were talking as far as the space needed all over the city.
Who was talking?
Different people. That's what I was told by the firm of Richards and Orsini.
But were they indicating that some of this talking came from their reading of the RFP?
It's possible.
Yeah. And you were asked to do something with it. Was what, to take it to Juneau?
Well, we were talking about a different thing at the time, and I told them I would be out of town maybe a day or two. I was going to Juneau. And so nothing was said about it at the time. And at a later time during the day, they asked me if I would stop by so they could discuss a few things for me, if they'd ask me if I could bring it down to the governor's office.
And did they say anything to you specifically as to what they were giving you to take down and what you were supposed to do with it?
Yes. Basically, it was a letter from the legislators, all the interior legislators, encouraging to have the building in the downtown core area. And alongside of that, a copy of the core map.
Now, you say you were going to Juneau
Yes, I was.
Do you know what date you were going to Juneau?
I believe it was October 2nd.
Yeah, how did... I think that was established in the grand jury. Do you recall how that specific date, since it's quite a bit time before you were testifying, did you recall that it was October 2nd that you were going to Juneau?
Well, I referred back to my files. I referred back to my travel files, and it was there.
So your travel files reveal that you went to Juneau at that time on the 2nd. Did you, by the way, telephone for an appointment before you went down?
You know, that was asked me, and Mr. Dash, I don't recall if I did or not.
I think your testimony for the grand jury was that you thought you might have.
I might have.
There's a telephone record call from your office to the governor's on October the 1st, which is the day before you went down. Do you recall anything about that call, whether that could have been a call for an appointment?
Very possible it could.
When you usually go to see the governor, do you make an appointment?
Not necessarily, no.
So, as a rule, would you say that actually, if you don't make an appointment, you stop by?
Well, basically, I don't come down here just to see the governor. I have other things, too, you know. And we, like I say, we're pushing for the local hire issue, and that's been my pet project for a good many years.
No, I understand, and that means that usually you're coming down here not to see the governor for on other business, on your union business, and while here on occasion you would stop in to see the governor.
I would talk to the receptionist to see if the governor was busy, and sometimes he was, and sometimes he wasn't.
Okay. Now, Mr. Arsenault, I'm going to show you an exhibit from the grand jury, which is Exhibit 12, and Exhibit 12 appears in the exhibit books. Let's get it. So we can get it for everybody to be able to look at. It appears on in the exhibit documents on page 35. Do you have that? Take a look at that exhibit, which is a description of a street area. Do you recognize that at all?
Yes, I do, because I had a little difficulty with the grand jury. I didn't remember it was Wickersham Street, and I thought it was Barnett. But we recessed, and I had my attorney, Mr. Murdy's, with me, and he explained it to me, too, and I thought it was Barnett Street, not Wickersham Street. But it was told to me that it was Wickersham Street in the core area. And then
Well, was this piece of paper that is the grand jury exhibit number 12 part of or what you brought down from Richards on Assini to take to the governor?
I believe it was.
Yeah. Now, I think you told me, Mr. Arsenault, prior to this hearing, that there was something else that you, and in your testimony in the grand jury, you referred to a map. Was there a map also attached or part of this description?
There was a map attached to this.
Now, when you say map, Mr. Arsenault, do you mean, let me refer you to page 8, Exhibit 18, which is on page 42 of the exhibit documents. When you refer to a map, you mean this total map that appears on that page?
It was something very similar to that one, yes.
And was it marked? Was there a marking on it of the core area as shown on this exhibit?
Yes, there was. Yeah. So, and the description below it.
And the description that we've just referred to was below it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, looking again, if you at the exhibit number 12.
What page is that on?
All right, let's go back to it. I think it was 37. Let's go back. No. It was 35, I'm sorry. On that description, the first words after the letter, after the number 2, it says, location, change to. Now, is your understanding that meant change the location description on the RFP to what is in this description?
Yes, that would be the downtown core area.
Yeah, and so it was your intent, and certainly was Richards and Orsini's, in giving you that map and also this description, to have the description of the location in the RFP changed to this description.
Basically, they told me to bring this down so they could establish, everyone would know what the downtown core area is.
And to therefore describe it this way.
Correct.
Is it true that that description covers a small area of downtown Fairbanks?
Yes, it does.
And is the Fifth Avenue Center inside that area?
Yes, it is.
Do you know of any other buildings in that same area that could compete with the Fifth Avenue Center for a consolidation project?
At that time, they mentioned the UBA, the bank building, but I didn't get it.
The building itself or a building they were going to build or what?
A building they were going to build, I understand.
In other words, new construction.
New construction, yes.
Now, you did go to Juneau on October 2, 1985.
October when?
October 2, 84, excuse me.
Yes.
How have you been able, as I think we've been able to set, that you fixed that date through your travel records? You've indicated also for the record that your reason for going down was not primarily to see the governor about this material. Is that true?
That's correct.
When you went down, however, at this time, you did intend to ask the governor to obtain the changes that are described on this piece of paper that we've identified as Exhibit 12.
I didn't go down there with the intention of having him change it. I brought the copy of that map along with the description to show him, to let him know where the downtown core area, along with the letters from the legislators.
Well, was it your intent, and I think as you've indicated in your other testimony, that the RFP be changed to this description?
Yes.
And you were going to present that to the governor?
Correct.
When you went into the office suite of the governor's, did you see any of his assistants or secretaries?
The secretary came out and escorted me into his office.
Were there anybody else in that outer office area that housed some of the aides and secretaries of the governor?
I don't recall seeing anybody there.
Do you know these people?
Not all of them, no.
Now, when you entered the governor's office, was there anybody else in the governor's office at that time?
No, it was the governor myself.
Did somebody later join the meeting?
Yes.
And who was that?
Mr. Shively.
Do you know how long you were alone with the governor?
Maybe 10 minutes.
Can you tell us what you discussed with the governor during those 10 minutes?
Most of the 10 minutes were taken up with the local hire issue.
I think your testimony for the grand jury, Mr. Arsenal, was that at that time you gave the governor the piece of paper and the map that you brought down.
I did.
And when you did you say anything about it?
Basically, yes. I told him that I was bringing this down because a lot of people didn't understand what the core area was, along with the letters from the legislators. I wanted it down in the downtown area. And he looked at it briefly, and that's when he called Mr. Shively in.
So during that time, you did at least communicate to the governor this part of your reason for being there, and you gave him the paper, right?
Yes.
And he understood what you were talking about.
Yes. No, I'll take that. I don't know if he understood what I was talking about. At least I presented it to him, and that's when he called Mr. Shively.
You spoke in English, Mr. Arsenal, did you not?
I believe I did, Mr.
And he understood it. I mean, did he give any indication that he didn't know what you were talking about?
Didn't give no indication.
Did he say, what is this map? What's it all about?
No, he just looked at it and called Mr. Shively in.
Did he say anything to lead you to believe that he disagreed with what you were presenting to him in terms of changing the description to this?
He didn't say anything about agreeing or disagreeing.
If he had disagreed, he would tell you, would he not?
I would assume he would, yes.
When Mr. Shively came in, did the governor fill him in on what you'd been talking about?
No, he didn't.
Did you fill him in?
Yes, I did.
Could you just tell
him? The governor turned the papers over to him, and he asked Mr. Shively, he said, Mr. Shively, we didn't call him. He said, John, take a look at this and see what we can do with it.
All right, so the governor handed him over and said, take a look at it and see what you can do with it. Shively has testified that that they were looking for a map because when they looked at this description, they just couldn't understand what impact or what area it really covered in the downtown Fairbanks area. So that the thing that stuck in his memory, his testimony is both in the grand jury and this committee, is that they looked for a map and he went out of the governor's office briefly to look. Do you recall that?
Mr. Dash, I don't know what he was looking for, but I knew what I brought down there.
I'm not asking you to challenge his testimony. I just, in order to refresh your recollection, whether or not you did see Mr. Shively looking around for a map. It was very vivid testimony.
Not while I was there, Mr. Dash.
Did you also, Mr. Arsenault, talk about the occupancy date that's on the RFP?
Yes, I did.
And did you suggest that date be changed to anything?
I did. I suggested it be changed to July 1.
Now, again, did the governor indicate that he knew what you were talking about?
Really, the governor, I was directing most of my questions to Mr. Shively.
Perhaps you can tell us so we can understand how this meeting was taking place.
I think, under the circumstance, Mr. Dash, we'll take a 10-minute break at this point and return.